Wow, thank you guys. That was beautiful. You know, we didn't get to talk about the message this week, and it's interesting. I wrote it down as they were singing. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Those are two things that we're talking about today, so you guys just fit perfect. That's wonderful. Well, we're glad to be back, and we'll talk a little bit about some of those adventures that Stacy and I had maybe a little bit next week. You know, the thing is school's in full swing this week, right? For a lot of kids, and then of course you've got college kids going off to school. We've got one going off on Friday and stuff, and moving them out. You've got all the sports programs. You got other programs, from music programs and all that stuff that's kicking in right now this time of year. So it's full swing. A lot of stuff going on, and I think it's all exciting stuff as we approach, I probably shouldn't even say the word fall, not to mention we have a new congregant coming in a couple months, so that's all good stuff. Happy, getting on that train of glory. You heard Johnny Cash sing about it a little bit this morning. The first thing we're going to do to start that off is recite Isaiah 26:3. And we say the scripture reference, then we say the verse together, and we say the reference right after that. And this is one that should fill you with a bunch of joy. It's a great verse, and so let's read that together. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Isaiah 26:3. There was another one this morning, right off, as I was just kind of reading through the word a little bit, and it captivated me just from the standpoint of what we're talking about today, and I won't explain any of it. I just want to read it to you, and then you can kind of filter that through as we go through the message this morning. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I like that. His eye is on the sparrow. You know, I'm on the happy train today. I got a nice little gift this morning, and I didn't expect that at all, and I got this from Mr. Rory. They went to Wisconsin Dells. Oh, yeah, you know, it's not far from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, yeah. And it's my college colors from the University of Minnesota, and you really can't read it well. You kind of have to understand. It says college hockey, right? So that's how we say it in Minnesota. So anyways, I like the hat. Thank you, Rory and family. Great thing to kind of make my day. Well, like I said, I can't help it. Since I've stopped watching the garbage on the news, the freak out news, and started filling my noggin with some good news. Now, it's been June, late June, when we first took our vacation. All the way since then, I have not watched any of those news channels that fill our minds with all that distorted stuff. I can't even jump off the happy train if I wanted to. I've just been feeling so good. And add to that, of course, 30 years of marriage to sweetness. Some of you may think that that's a derogatory term, but sweetness it is. And she is my weakness, by the way, and that would be my wife, Stacy, and three boys who seem to be pretty well adjusted. They have faith in Jesus. That's a good thing. We have families in Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Washington State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and all the way across the big pond in Norway, where at least 62% of something got started over there to bring us over here. And we have a home by the lake. It's really a pond. We have some transportation. We both have jobs and a vocation, plenty of food on the table, an education, sort of. And a church family that is spread out, not only from here, but it goes across the globe because we are all one in Jesus Christ. And so when I look at all of that, I analyze all of that. None of it was easy. I mean, you go through, you know, life and death and rebirth and all sorts of things while all of that's going on. What it told me that I should never be stressed because I'm way too blessed. In fact, a book I've been reading on leadership argued that those of us with faith, not only those in leadership, but those of us with faith should constantly think that way. We are too blessed to be stressed. In reality, I jumped on the happy train once again when I finally let Jesus drive the engine, right? He's got to be the one that's driving the whole thing. And when one starts counting their blessings and naming them one by one, as the song goes, it's a train bound for glory. So my job is to make sure other people jump on that train, get on that train that's bound for glory. And some of you may not know this, but I'm part of a 3-year program with the American Baptist Churches. It's called the Nehemiah Leadership Conference, and we're studying the art of leadership. And boy, I am so mad at seminary. Now, y'all know I went to seminary, right? And I can't say I'm mad at seminary. I'm just mad at my education. My master's degree, I'm finding out, is really meaningless. Master of Divinity. Really? Dave Wright is a Master of Divinity? Are you kidding me? I mean, who are we fooling? Now, I know how to find the Greek and the Hebrew words, look them up, decipher them, kind of give you guys updates on what those are talking about. But being a leader, leading a group of folks, especially in a church, a master of what I got for that? Divinity? Now you might notice when you walk into my office, I don't have any degrees hung up on the wall. Never have. From high school, college, master's, never done that. What one really needs is a master's in human relationships, family dynamics, dinosaurs, furnaces, auto repair, finance, where to go when somebody needs some money, construction work, engineering, law, accounting, geology, biology. The fact is, pastors get more questions on those things than they do on the Bible or some study that somebody's been through. And that's the truth. Now, some folks think that someone knows and studies the Bible and gets their master's or has a degree in it, they know everything about how to lead and how to run things and how to do things and how to fix cars and all those sorts of things. There are also some who have those big highfalutin degrees who think they can lead, but they really can't. And here's what I want to tell you. I think leadership is a wonderful thing. Every one of us has an opportunity to lead in some way, shape, or form. But that's got to be if you know what you're doing. And sometimes we don't know what we're doing. There's a lot of times I don't know what I'm doing, right? You have to go on the fly. But there are times when a leader or a coach needs some help from other leaders, other people that have been there and done that. So I went back to my brain as I was looking at all of this stuff and kind of see if I could jump back into the vault and conjure up my call to ministry because I feel myself as if maybe I sometimes move into leading with fear. Now, some of you may recognize that from being in the business world. And in other words, my leadership was starting to be based on what other folks might fear or what might or might not get done that I have to do. That would be my fear. Or maybe it's finances. Ooh, I'm afraid of that, and I lead by fear. Or maybe it's not pleasing God, which happens a lot of times in the church and with leadership. We fear not pleasing God. Or maybe it's our own fear, my own fear. So my call to ministry, as many of you know, when we first came up here, was to preach, teach, train, and equip. And when I first started, I understood, and I still understand, that if I was to lead a congregation, I always felt I had to be a positive leader who is about leading with faith. Faith in a world that is filled with cynicism, negativity, and fear. And I mean, if we really want to face it, the biggest battle that we fight is fear. Christians. It's one of the biggest battles we fight between fear and our faith. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that next week. Now, I recognize that all of you, including myself, we face fear every day. That's a battle that we have. And so many are filled with fear and doubt, uncertainty. We're uncertain about maybe our jobs or our health, our kids, our grandkids, finances, politics, the erosion of the Judeo-ethic Christianity here in our world, our schools, finances, divorce, weddings coming up, fitting in. The list goes on and on of what we're all afraid about. So I've always believed my role as a leader, I would prefer actually to use the word coach, is to inspire the congregation, friends, neighbors, and inspire people with faith, the faith that you can only find in Jesus Christ. You remember that Greek word we talked about several weeks ago, entheos, and we get that word enthusiasm. So we want to enthusiastically lead people in the faith, and we learned that literally that word means to inspire, and it also means to be filled with the divine. So we are to fill people with the divine. We are to inspire them with the love of Jesus Christ. And so I've always felt as a leader, I'm to lead with optimism. I'm the guy that's got to carry the positive attitude. And I think I am a pretty positive guy, but since Sunday is the first day of our week, one of my goals has always been to try to fill people up with a renewed energy so that they could go out and take on the week being inspired. Fact is, most people come into church, they've been beat up and bruised all week. Here is where we get to be inspired, to be a light in our world. And isn't that what we want? For every single one of us to be inspired and light up the world. And then I've always felt, as I looked at it, called to help folks the best way I can to live out the Christian life, which doesn't just include church. Your faith should direct every area of your life. And so this would include education, school, finance, how to buy a home, a car, taking care of your family, generosity, providing for your family, knowing the history of where you come from and why you're even here, or work ethic, being a good citizen. That's all part of our faith journey together as Christians, and making sure along the way folks know how much I have screwed up doing all that. But the good thing that puts you right back on the happy train is that Christ forgives. He helps us get refocused. The Bible calls it the renewing of our minds. We get re-energized, we get inspired again. Coach Pete Carroll, who coached the Seattle Seahawks, some of you might have read about him, he said, the world trains people to be pessimistic, don't they? Turn on the news. Trains us to be pessimistic. And one of the most important things I must do, he says, is make sure my players and staff believe that tomorrow will be better than today. Now, many of us have experienced some really bad things in our lives. But does your faith tell you that tomorrow will be a better day? Or do we buy into the world's view that every day is a bad day and tomorrow is going to be worse? What he is saying, Coach Carroll is saying, is that he must help his players be hopeful in a pessimistic, negative world. Thing is, in Christ Jesus, every day in Him, getting to know Him more, getting to know Him better, our relationship with Him can grow. Remember, our bodies are getting old and ugly and whatever we want to say, and they're kind of wilting away. But But our faith can always grow and get stronger as we lean on Jesus and our faith. And Jesus then is the one that calms those fears. Now, I know some of you experienced that. I know some of you are experiencing it right now, today, living it. Thing is if we live in fear, how can we share our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ? If we live in fear, how can you do it? How can we really bring home the powerful, wonderful story of God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die on our behalf? Folks, we are forgiven through Jesus Christ. And so that gives us every reason for living, doesn't it? To be filled with hope and joy. And I got to tell you, Christ dying on the cross for my sin, for your sin, the world's sin, and then rising again so that we could have life and live it to the fullest, that's better than a Peter Pan happy thought, isn't it? But I would be remiss if I left out a word that the gals sang about it this morning. And it's just one of many words, and it helps to keep me on the happy train with Jesus. It's the word freedom. Freedom. You see, before we met Christ, we were all bound up, and bound up by what? Law and sin. But as we chose to follow Jesus, all of a sudden we find ourselves being freed, and that weight that was upon us is lifted. Galatians is about... The book of Galatians is about how many religious Jews and non-Christians were bound by various strict laws. This is when Christianity was kind of taken off. And the Jews wanted the Christians to be circumcised. That was part of the law. So you got to be circumcised. But Paul said, wait a minute. Those who come to know Jesus can join God's people, God's chosen people, without becoming ethnically Jewish through that law. They can become part of God's chosen through the Holy Spirit and their faith in Jesus Christ. Before coming to faith in Jesus, we were all held by that law. And law is not such a bad thing. It wasn't a bad thing because the law was that guardian for us. It said, here's what you can and cannot do until the advent of Jesus Christ. And once that time came, God sent his son to redeem us. What a great word from that law. And then, as we believe, we are told he adopts us into his family. There's no, physical circumcision here. He just adopts us into his family. And when you get to chapter 5, verse 1, Paul writes, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Isn't that great? So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And later in verse 13, Paul writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free." And then he does add this. He says, "But don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh." Here's the good portion where we get on the happy train. He says, "Serve one another." That's what you do now. You believe, now you're going to serve one another. And Paul tells us then to walk in the Spirit. And Paul, of course, is being specific to the Jewish law as being this big burdensome deal that they're trying to lay on new Christians. But this freedom from it that he speaks of, I think it applies to every area of our life. Especially if you read Scripture from cover to cover. It's tough to serve somebody in humility and in love when you are all bound up and you have no air to breathe, when you're too stressed out. So this freedom we have been called to, I believe, is to cover all areas of our lives. All areas. Free from law. Free from sin. We have the opportunity to be free from debt. Free from anxiety, free from worry, and free from whatever else might enslave us. So there may be something here today that's enslaving you, and it's just driving you nuts. You realize in Christ Jesus you have the freedom to get rid of that. And Christ can cover that, and you can be free. And I think when that happens, when we start tapping into that freedom, I think you hear the whistle blow on the train for glory. You start seeing that train, and you want to jump on that train. That's where you're going to find freedom. That's where you're going to find joy. And it's a joy, of course, the Bible tells us, no one can take it away from us. It's a joy that's given to us by the Holy Spirit. In Christ, God frees you up to turn this world upside down and get people on that train along with us. Get people excited about life. Don't you want to see that? Instead of people just walking around like this, people excited about life? To be creative? To build new things? To try out new adventures? And you've seen those movies, right, where one person is on the train to freedom, train's rolling, his buddy's running behind, trying to catch up, right? You've seen some of those movies, and the one guy's going to stick his hand out, and he's going to try and help his friend on board and try to get on that train with him, and successful, maybe not. It's up to us, I think, who are on the train of joy, God's happy train, so to speak. Those of us that are excited about our faith, excited about life, it's up to us to stick our hands out and grab those people that are trying to get on board. So this freedom breaks down our fears, and it helps us to move out, I think, in our faith. It's a faith so strong that you'd be willing to sacrifice for somebody else. You might see that person slowing down and not able to catch up to the train, so you jump off and you throw them on and you're left behind. You sacrifice yourself. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He sacrificed himself to bring us to eternal joy. A life like this happens when one is word-driven, when one begins to know God and then also takes that love of God and brings it out to the rest of the world. And as such, we listen to Jesus' instructions. And there's plenty of instructions in the Word of God. Proverbs 16:20 says, "Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." Well, total positive, isn't it? Listen to instructions, especially instructions from God. And how blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord. Too blessed to be stressed. And you know, when Jesus gives his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, he starts by saying, "Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek," and it goes on and on. You've seen that. And Jesus uses this word blessed, and then he ends each saying with a wonderful gift. There's something wonderful after all of that, like comfort or being filled or being able to see God. Now, how cool are those things? If that doesn't put you on the happy train, I don't know what will. But that word blessed, you remember we've talked about it. I love that word. Literally, in the Greek, it can mean happy. So you could say, happy are those, happy are those. And here's what's going to happen. I'm too happy to be stressed because I have found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart. My eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on the sparrow. I close with a psalm this morning, Psalm 37. If you want to look it up, Psalm 37. It's a great, great passage that reminds us kind of how crazy our world is. But then, how God comes through and brings us back home. Again, remember I said, you know, we're beat up, we're bruised, some of us in that. We need some good words. We need some positive words from God to tell us how to stay with him and stay at it. It says this, starting in verse 1, Psalm 37, "Do not fret because of those who are evil or being envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Jump down to verse 7. Well, verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord." Then verse 7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil for those who are evil. And it goes on, a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. I encourage you to read that whole chapter. It is so wonderful about how we have wickedness in the world, but as we look to God and as we delight in the Lord, He works with us, He loves us, He saves us, He protects us. That's some good stuff, and that's stuff that needs to be shared. So my encouragement for you this morning, as you get set for wherever you're going this week, you're heading off to something new, whatever you have going, to invite Jesus along every step of the way. Wake up and make your first thought about Christ, about who He is and what He has done in your life. Make sure and count those blessings every day. You're too blessed to be stressed. You really are. So am I. It's going to be a challenging week for us to live in our freedom of Christ. Every week it is. But as we trust in the Lord, He will get rid of all of those fears. And with all the negativity that goes on in our world today, we as a church have a great opportunity, as a church and as individuals who believe in Jesus Christ, to influence people with the joy of Jesus Christ, with the idea that they too can be part of the train that's bound for glory. Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have a great group of folks here this morning. A lot of stuff going on in everyone's lives. We've had a death in the family, and so there's struggles there, there's fears there, but you know what? We all know, all of us in here who believe in You, we all know this, that somehow Your joy cannot be taken away. It's still there. While we may hurt and suffer, it's still there. While we're happy, while we're glad, while You have blessed us, it's always there. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for that. We pray as we leave this place today that You will draw us out into the community, that we may reach out our hands and grab others and share that joy, share that love, share the light, get people excited about life. We thank You so much for the opportunity to do that and the opportunity to serve You, our great God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.